From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. A fractured Supreme Court today threw out Vermont's lowest-in-the-nation limits on campaign contributions. The decision comes as the court nears the end of its session, and it marks the first time that the High Court has invalidated any campaign contribution limit as too low. NPR's Nina Totenberg reports.
In 1997, Vermont enacted the toughest campaign reform law in the country, limiting both campaign spending and contributions. Campaign finance reformers and their critics went to court, using the Vermont law as a way to attack the Supreme Court's 1976 landmark decision on what is and is not constitutionally permissible campaign finance regulation. The reformers wanted the court to allow more regulation. The critics wanted the court to allow less. Today, though, the newly constituted Supreme Court, for all practical purposes, left the status quo in place.
I think that the reform community dodged a bullet here.
Rick Hassan is an election specialist at Loyola Law School in Los Angeles.
It's actually the best opinion that supporters of campaign finance laws could have hoped for from this new Roberts Court. All of us were wondering what Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Alito were going to do. Were they going to be the next Scalia and Thomas on this issue, that is to say that basically all of these laws are unconstitutional, and they didn't do that.
The Vermont law at issue in today's case, contrary to three decades of court precedent, put limits on how much a candidate can spend in a campaign. Today, once again, the Supreme Court said the state could not do that because it unconstitutionally limits the candidate's political expression. But the court also reiterated its past rulings upholding limits on campaign contributions, decisions like the one in 2003 upholding the McCain-Feingold federal campaign finance reform law. What distinguishes this case from all previous rulings is that this is the first time a contribution limit was struck down as too low. So low, said Justice Stephen Breyer in his plurality opinion, that combined with other factors, the Vermont contribution limits hindered the ability of challengers and their political supporters to mount effective campaigns against better-known incumbents. Under the Vermont law, each individual and each party committee is limited to from $200 to $400 in contributions to a candidate. And that's for an entire election cycle, including primary and general elections. These limits themselves, however, are not the whole story, said Breyer. It is in combination with other provisions that these contribution limits become constitutionally unacceptable. Unlike the federal law and most state laws, for example, the Vermont law treats party committees in the same way as it does individuals, so that if the state Republican Party wants to target certain races with more money, it can't. The law counts the expenses that volunteers may incur, like gas or coffee and donuts, as contributions, so that if a supporter wants to host a series of Meet the Candidate receptions, the contribution limit will quickly be exceeded. Nor does the law, like many state laws, adjust for inflation. All these things are red flags, said Justice Breyer, and Vermont has not shown a record of corruption that justifies such stringent and inflexible limits. Joining him in all parts of his opinion was Chief Justice Roberts and, for all practical purposes, Justice Alito. Justice Kennedy concurred with the outcome of the case but refused to sign on to the reasoning because of what he called his continuing skepticism about the court's campaign finance jurisprudence. Two other justices, Scalia and Thomas, agreed that the Vermont limits are unconstitutional, but they said they view all limits on campaign contributions as unconstitutional. The court's other three justices, Stevens, Souter, and Ginsburg, dissented. They would have upheld Vermont's contribution limits. So what does today's ruling tell us about the future of campaign finance reform in the Supreme Court? The bottom line remains unchanged, though the court did give opponents of contribution limits some ammunition for litigation, as UCLA law professor Eugene Volokh observes.
It's ammunition kind of in the border skirmishes of the war. When it comes to full-on assaults on things like the McCain-Feingold legislation and such, that really hasn't changed much.
Democracy 21 President Fred Wertheimer, who's fought for campaign finance reform for decades, agrees.
The things we have been fighting for, from banning soft money to prohibiting corporations and labor unions from spending money in campaigns to limiting individual contributions, they all remain intact.
And finally, today's court opinions show that, at least for now, the court's two newest members are not willing to throw 30 years of precedent overboard in this area of the law.